Morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you online Bible school with Grace Institute, and we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. I want to welcome you to our Wednesday morning edition here as we jump right back into the Word on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So this is one of the attributes of being of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to be filled. And we'll talk about the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. You know, we'll just intertwine them as we go along. But living the Spirit-filled life is allowing Christ to live His life out inside this body. Your body is a house, a spiritual house. This is what Romans 12, 1 talk about. It's your spiritual worship. It's part of my spiritual worship to do what? To make this body, when I say body, I'm talking about my soul, my mind, my will, my emotion, my physical body, to be a living sacrifice where everyone can see outwardly around me that I belong to Christ. It's the same as what, you know, people can't see your born again spirit. They can't see when you that you got born again. But when we have water baptism, which take place after one, you know, the conversion of someone who got born again, when you have people witnessing that baptism, it's an outward sign of you seeing what actually took place in the spirit. So when a person go up under that water, and that they submerge them up under that water and they come up anew. Well, that's what that is about your spirit. Your spirit, the moment you made Jesus the Lord of your life, your spirit became alive again unto God in Christ Jesus. But when we went down into that water, that means we were spiritually dead. That means it's the application that Jesus went through on the cross when you can look at it. And it's a beautiful thing. So living the spirit-filled life or being filled with the spirit, again, it's not that we always just laying hands on the sick. It's part of being filled with the spirit. But being filled with the spirit is going about doing commerce in this realm the way God intended for it to be. Now, we have ministering angels. We have the Holy Spirit. We got the Word of God. We got all of these forces working on our behalf to do what? So that we won't be hindered in doing the will of God for our lives. So that means God, we entrust God to do what? To watch over us, to keep us in all of our ways. We can't do it because we're not that wise. We still live in a physical body and we don't see all, nor do we know all in our physical flesh. But in my spirit, according to 1 John 2:20 and 2:27, you know, we have that unction. It knows all things. Amen. And so this morning, as we go back into this prayer that we was talking about yesterday in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, about being filled with the Spirit, and we'll move on a little bit further. But before we do that, let's go ahead and make our faith confession. Let's say it out loud once again. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever, whom the Lord hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So we want to say again to you once again, good morning. Thank you for joining us on our Wednesday morning edition as we continue our lesson about being filled with the Spirit. And so we're saying being filled with the Spirit, that means you are filled with the Word and the Spirit, it goes together. So to be filled with the Spirit, meaning because I have the Word of God on it. And notice this, the Spirit is what gives, is strengthening my inner man to do what? Which would be my soulish man, to go ahead on and live out on purpose in the front of my enemies, in the front of those who witness Christ, in the front of those whoever. I'm not ashamed. That's what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16-17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the reason why he was saying that, because where he was in Rome, there was a lot of wicked, twisted thing that was taking place in Rome. A lot of twisted, perverted activities. all kind of demonic activities, that whereas they were, I mean, they had Colosseum that they will celebrate modern Christian. It's like they had Colosseum that would set people, they come to see Christian get martyred by lions, through all type of activity that just too gruesome just to even think about, to talk about. But thanks be unto God that is behind us. But my point is that I want to make to you is that as we grow in this grace, you're allowing the life of Christ that's in you to do what? To channel forth his goods. And that's just it. Amen. And so that's why this prayer in Ephesians is so important. Actually, let's go back to Ephesians 1 and let's milk this a little bit and look at verse 16, Ephesians 1. And notice this, in verse 16, it says, I do not cease to give thanks for you. And this is out of the Classic Amplified. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. And this is a prayer that we as the body of Christ can pray all the time. So you ought to be including yourself in this prayer. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Colossians 1. And you can, you know, part of even in Thessalonica, even in Rome. But these prayers is for the spirit-filled believer. And not only just for you, but you can add your spouse, you can add your pastor, their families, you can add the body of Christ as a whole. Amen. And so, and it says here in verse 17, for I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see what the Apostle Paul said? The Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom. See, that he may grant you what? A spirit of wisdom. What are we talking about? We're talking about the spirit-filled life, being filled with the Spirit. So if I'm being filled, maybe I should have titled it the spirit-filled life. But being filled with the Spirit, notice what he said. In order for you to have that, he said, I pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. Now, the question may be, you say, well, I thought we had the wisdom of God. I thought we had revelation knowledge of him. We do. But it's not when Paul was talking, praying for the church of Ephesus, that he say that he will grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight, you know, insight into mysteries. What are mysteries? Mysteries are something that are like something not hidden from you, but they're hidden for you. They're like divine secrets. So when you begin to pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he may give you a spirit of wisdom. So what is wisdom? Wisdom having is the in having insight into the perfect will of God. And so by praying in other tongues, that's what it does. It opens up your the inner man to do what? To receive the divine life of the divine wisdom that come forth out of your spirit. And what does it do? It's ministering to your inner man. Because you see, it's not your spirit that needs wisdom. Your spirit has wisdom because, you know, 1 Corinthians 1:30 said, and he made unto them wisdom. See, wisdom was one of them. Redemption, righteousness, and sanctification. So it was already made unto us through the new birth. So it couldn't be speaking to me about me receiving wisdom into my spirit, but wisdom is needed, it very much needed to do what in my soulless man, in my inner man, that I may be was strengthened to walk in the spirit. And so to walk in the spirit means to walk by what the word of God says. Because why? Everything physically that I can see, my tangible around me, many times they would not be conducive to the things of the kingdom. And it's like, you know, some days you look at things and you're surrounded and it's just like, you know, things are so wicked, things are so twisted, things are so warped. Well, The world is going that way because it's coming to the end. But until God give Jesus the word to rapture us out of here, we are to occupy in this land by faith. So therefore, we are steady reversing, changing the perversion that the wicked one has used. You know, Satan being the wicked one is using humanity. And so the more people we can educate spiritually and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ and begin to disciple them, have a place that we can disciple them so that they don't return back to those wicked devices or allowing the enemy to use their mind, use their mouthpiece to do what? To bring forth twisted ways. So the only way that can stop is that the righteous itself will rise up and begin to do what? Disciple people, begin to live the life. So that's one of the reasons why when you'll be, you know, living the spirit-filled life is that your life is on display. It's like a mannequin in a window. You know, they put this, you know, whatever, it could be a suit for a man, it could be a dress for a lady, whatever it may be. I mean, it could be, you know, active wear, you know, things that we like to wear when we work out. They have put that on that mannequin, and guess what? It gets your attention. It's on display to get your attention so that you can walk into the store, or you follow what I'm saying, and purchase something. Well, your life and mine is on display, so that people are being drawn to us, spirit to spirit. They're drawn to us because why? I want to know what you have, what's in you, what, you know, I'm drawn to you. And then that's your platform to begin to what? To promote the life of Christ that's emanating out of you, because that's what it is. It's the life of Christ in you. It's emanating out of you. It's the glory of God emanating out of you. Kind of like sometimes you can see the, you know, when the cloud, the sun is coming out, and you can kind of see the cloud over, and the sun, the rays of the sun is coming through that cloud. Well, a lot of time, that's what you and I look like. Well, most, to be honest with you, every day of our life, that's what's happening. The glory of God, the Spirit of God is emanating, is out of you and I. And it, what it does, it's sending off rays. You could be in a grocery store, you could be working out, you could be on your job site, whatever. You could be at home. What's happening? That life of Christ that's in you that you receive, that life is emanating from you. And notice what it's doing. When you and I fellowship with God, when you and I worship Him, when you just praise Him in the Spirit and praise Him with words of understanding, what is you doing? That rays that's coming forth in your spirit, it is emanating out of your body, and it will begin to touch and change everything that's around you that may be off in some way. Without you even noticing. But when you walk in a place, when you walk on a street, when you drive to a place or whatnot, you are the one, if you have not known this, I want you to be aware at this moment, you're the one that's taking dominion, you're taking control. When I go inside of a grocery store, I go inside of a mall or whatever, I take that mall, I take the store, it's under my control now. All demonic activity is halt. Now, I know that sounds a little bit strange, but I'm just trying to tell you, it's not me. It's what I'm displaying. It's the life of Christ in me, because He's already paid the price for our redemption. And if we don't rise up and allow that life that's already won the victory for us, again, the spirit-filled life is what? It's walking and living life in a manner that whereas whatever demonic activity is taking place, it cannot prosper. Because Jesus has already stripped it. The only way demonic forces can prosper or to continue to keep doing what it's doing is because the righteous is not there, or the righteous don't understand the authority that they have as a believer. And so we are put in the earth to walk in the anointing of Jesus. In 1 John 3:8, the Bible said, Jesus said, for this purpose was I the Son of God manifest? For what purpose? To undo, to dissolve the works of that the devil has done. And Jesus has stripped spoil principalities and powers, and he brought it to naught. He did that in that place of hell. His spirit, not his body. His body laid in that grave, behind in that tomb, in that stone, that behind that that stone, 3 days, 3 nights. But his spirit left his body. And that's what gave you and I the victory, because when the Holy Ghost, when the Father saw that the justice for you and I was settled. So don't see Jesus as one on the cross, but see yourself as the one on that cross. He was your substitute. Because we were not qualified to do what? To be able to endure, that someone took our place. And now that we understand what took place, that's the reason why we say in the name of Jesus. Why? Because it was that name. It was the person in that body that stripped the enemy of his foe, so that you and I don't have to live in fear. And so when you see this prayer, he said that the God of the Father of glory may grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mystery and secret. So that's what it is. And that's why when you look at 1 Corinthians 14:2, it said, when anyone pray in an unknown tongue, he speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Well, let's just look at that for a moment. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, and I'll be reading this too out of the Amplified, Classic Amplified. 1 Corinthians 14. And notice this in verse 2, he says, For one who speaks in an unknown tongue, see, an unknown tongue. So it's not that the tongue is not known, but it is unknown to you and I. You know, when we pray in tongues, you know, I may be speaking Hebrew. You know, you may be speaking, whatever that may be. But there are different tongues of language. When we say tongues, it's just a language that someone lived by, someone actually communicate with. But for you and I, we don't understand that. But when we pray in the spirit, what it does, because it is a language, it is praying out the perfect will of God for you and I. Why? Because it takes away your natural mindset of trying to. Because see, your natural mind is filled with religion, it's filled with traditions, it's filled with all kind of, you know, whatever. But when I pray in other tongues, my mind is closed off. It has to listen. And this is what, you know, let's see here. Down here at verse 14, he said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. Can you see that? Again, he said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, unknown tongue. Again, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It's unknown to you. It's unknown to me. But someone that the tongue that I'm unknown tongue that I'm praying in, someone could be standing right by me. And I'm praying in that native tongue. It could be Hebrew. And they can interpret it perfectly of what I'm saying. But yet at the same time, they begin to speak back to me. And they're saying, I have no understanding of what they're talking about. But it's known to them. There are times God will use that to reach a person of that, you know, dialect. Because they hear them speaking in their language. And this is what happened in Acts chapter 2. You know, all of these men were gathered together. And when the disciples and the other 120 that was in that upper room, and when Peter come out speaking to them, they heard them speaking in their native tongue. Not Galilean, But someone was speaking from Metropolitan, or someone was speaking a very different language. And these men heard Peter and them speaking in their language. And they understood. Now, but watch this. So he said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. See that? That's the purpose of prayer, is to take your mindset out of it, your natural intellect out of it. When you start praying through the Holy Spirit, now your spirit is gaining access to the mind of what Christ, the mind of Christ. And you begin to start praying that out. And as you start praying that out, then the Holy Spirit will begin to give light. It begin to give you understanding about the thing you're praying. In other words, he'll make sense of the thing that you're praying about. Oh, you follow what I'm saying here? Let's go back to verse 2. He said, for one who speaks in tongue, in an unknown tongue, speaks not to men, but to God. So remember, this tongue that we're talking about here is a tongue that whereas you're speaking unto God. It's your prayer language. Amen. That prayer language, why? Because sometimes in your natural mind, your language, you don't know how to really pray about something. Let me show you that in Romans chapter 8. Sometimes things can hit you, can devastate you, and you really don't know how to go about in praying this thing out. It's not that you can't pray. I just don't know how to pray in this matter as I ought. And so when you look at verse 26, it says, so the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bear us up in our weakness. Now, one translation said our infirmities, and which is mean weakness. In other words, I just, you know, I'm not sick, you know, nothing wrong. I just don't know how to go about praying in this. That's what this is saying. So notice this. He said, for we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. See? And there are times you don't. And that's why when you pray in other tongues, what it does, even though my mind is unproductive, as you know, 1 Corinthians 14:15 said, my mind is unproductive. It can't be understood, but notice what I'm doing. I'm releasing the divine life, divine energy out of my born-again spirit, and it's starting to minister to my soulless man. What it does, it's giving it a peace. It's giving it strength. It's giving it a victory. It's giving it a power to know that all is well. That's why sometimes you hear people say, you know, I know this is going to turn out okay. I don't know how, but something inside of me just let me know it's going to be okay. Well, that's your spirit. When you start praying in other tongues, that's what it does. It begins to strengthen you. You don't know how to, you know it's going to turn out okay, but you don't know how, you don't know where it's going to come from. You don't know. You just know inside. Why? Because now you're releasing the faith of Christ into that prayer by faith that you're praying in other tongues, and you're releasing it by the power of God. And that's why the mind has to be renewed with the word of God, because why? Your natural mind will fight you. Your natural intellect is going to fight you. Why? Because it don't understand the language that you're speaking. It don't understand the decisions that you are making. Why? Because you're not accustomed to that. That's not the way that you've been living life. That's not the way you've been carrying on. See, your brain holds memory. So you begin to live out of the thing that you store up in memory. you know, whether it be political, whether it be educational, whether it be family, a marriage, whatnot, you know, memory just have you automatically click, you know, kicking in. But now when you come to the Word of God and you begin to realize that I don't know what to do in this. Why? Because the Word has introduced to you a whole new way of living. And that's why the theme of the whole year is what? Awaken to righteousness. Meaning, now that I'm born again, I'm the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. So that righteousness has a different way of expressing itself. And that's why he said, Paul was talking to the church of Ephesus, going back, I'm just holding my place here, but going back over here, you know, in Ephesians chapter 1, he said that he may grant you, you know, that he may grant you a spirit of what? Of wisdom. And that wisdom is what? That wisdom is of revelation, knowledge, you see, of mysteries, of insight. You see what he's saying? Notice what he said here again. That he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, meaning of insight into the mysteries and secrets, into the deep and intimate knowledge of him. That's why when you pray in other tongues, that's what you're doing. You begin to read these scriptures, say, Lord, I'm praying in the spirit that I may gain wisdom, insight, understanding in the way that you have helped me to go. And you begin to just start praying in tongues. And you see, and that's the reason why it's your prayer language. Why? Because you're not trying to convince somebody outwardly. You're not trying to pray openly around people who has no understanding. Now, sometimes we have what that we pray before service, and we are praying the spirit. We are praying our understanding. Sometimes we are singing the spirit. We're singing our understanding. Why? Because it's proper. You follow what I'm saying? Why? Because you are amongst believers that understand this. And then we'll talk about there's a different prayer language that comes out, and it is used for prophecy. Sometimes it's used for the interpretation of what we call the gift of tongues. Okay? But we're not talking about the gift of tongue where a certain someone begins to pray in service in a certain way. And that tongue is demanding to give an interpretation, or it is giving an interpretation of something God is saying to the body of Christ. Now, I don't always have to come out using a tongue. It can just come out speaking in the language that I'm speaking to you with, called prophecy. But the gift of tongues at times, more or less, is used, especially in church, is to get the unbelievers' attention. Because you have unbelievers in church, the tongue is not for the believer, because the believer is very much aware. But there are times you have people that come in church, they heard about those tongues, but they have never experienced it. And once they're in the atmosphere of it, and they begin to sense the power of God moving, and then someone else, or either the person that's speaking in that tongue, give the interpretation of that, it's just like it lights a fire. That's what it did for me. It was just like, oh my God. You know, it was just like, man, can you really be that close to God? Can you really draw that type of insight from God by praying in this language, or allowing the Holy Spirit, once you're filled with the Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, to use your tongue as a mean of speaking prophecy, words of prophecy, or allowing the gifts of the Spirit to function right there in church? Look, when we have church, it's supposed to be led by the Spirit. It's supposed to be supernatural. And what I mean by that means it's supposed to be an atmosphere that miracles can take place. The gifts of the Spirit can be in place, which has the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, or discerning of spirits, or we could say the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. All of these manifestations can be in place in a spirit-filled church when we allow the Holy Spirit to flow, to function. Or we can, you know, the third set of the gifts of the Spirit is prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And all of these happen as the Spirit will, and that's in, you know, 2 Corinthians. I think in 2 Corinthians, we'll get to it. 2 Corinthians 9:11. But these gifts work as the Spirit will. It doesn't work as we will, okay? But getting back to this, in verse 26 of Romans 8, he says, "Howbeit, when the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bear us up in our weakness, for we do not know what prayer to offer and how to offer it worthily as we ought." Because how many times have you prayed and it just seemed like in the natural, it didn't make sense. You just couldn't muster up enough insight of the Word of God to make sense of this. And that's what I just say. See, the moment I do that, it takes my mind, it shut it off. And the moment I start praying in the Spirit, what is that? It's emanating, the illuminating light of the glory of God, the Spirit of God that's in me. It begins to pray for me. It is praying for me. And I'm receiving the benefit of that prayer and praying in other tongues. Why? Because what's going to happen, the Holy Spirit is going to give me the interpretation, the understanding. You know, not so much of a voice. It's just that you're just going to know. You say, man, I know what I'm going to do now. And then at times you may not even know exactly at the moment what you're going to do, but because you trust Him and you understand that He will guide you. One of the attributes of the Holy Spirit is to guide you and to lead you. So if He guided me and led me to pray in tongues about this matter, and I have this peace that comes over me, then that let me know all is well. So what am I doing? By faith, I'm taking steps of faith, you know, going about doing what I'm called to do, continue to thank God, praise God, and then all of a sudden that thing resolves itself. I may get a word of knowledge. I may get a phone call, or I may, something may happen on my behalf that whereas because I prayed it out in the Spirit. I didn't know how to pray for it in myself. But when I took this thing by the Spirit, it said, so the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and He bear us up in weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication, you see that, and plead in our behalf with unspeakable yearning and groaning too deep for utterance. I mean, why? Because your intellect don't go there. It can't go there. But when you pray in another tongue, it's right there in the midst of making that supplication right, making that thing right that's bothering you, that got you, you know, out of sync. And then all of a sudden, it just like, you know, you quit fighting in yourself. You quit having these wars going on in your mind, and you begin to partake. See, this is what the Holy Spirit does. When you begin to pray in other tongues again, it comes to your aid and it strengthens you. And that's the reason why every believer should pray in tongues. Why? Because you living in a realm that things happen. You may see it naturally. You may see something physically breaking out, but all of that come out of the realm of the Spirit, the realm of the spirit of darkness. And you got the spirit of light. And that's the two forces that's always at war. But because we are born of God, then guess what? Because you are born of God, that means, and being filled with the Spirit or living a spirit-filled life, you have the advantage. You triumph. Hold your finger right there. Let me come right back. Look at look at 2 Corinthians. And see that. Look at 2 Corinthians 2. Notice this. Paul is talking. You know, in verse 11, it says, to Satan, to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of the wiles and his intention. Verse 14 says, notice this, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always lead us in triumph. Notice this, for trophies of Christ's victory. See? And through us, he pleads and make evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. Let me say that to you again. But thanks be to God who in Christ always lead us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory. See, always lead us to triumph because we are what? We are the trophies in Christ. That means when a battle is won, he won it for us. So therefore, we always try because we are the trophy that he won for us. What did he win? He won the battle that had us all held captive, deformed, afraid, oppressed, sick, afflicted. Jesus won that battle. And that's why, notice what the scripture says again. But he said, thanks be to God who in Christ always lead us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory. See, always lead us to triumph as what? As trophies. Because that's what we are. He won the battle. It's just like who won the Super Bowl? Oh, I forgot who won the Super Bowl. Kansas City Chiefs. And notice they got that Super Bowl trophy. So guess what? The organization, the team won, but they give it to that president or the owner of that team. And what he done? He's always holding up that trophy to show that in 2024, the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl for our organization. Well, I'm telling you, Christ have won the victory over the devil, over Satan, demons, principalities, and power. And notice it, when he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, he triumphed. His triumph was for you and I. He triumphed. His victory, the victory he won was for you and I. Can you see that? Yeah. The victory he won was for you and I. So it was Christ who won. But we get the credit for it. So when you and I stand in the front, in the presence of darkness or whatever it is, that's why we say in the name of Jesus. Because when you say in the name of Jesus, what are you doing? That's the name that destroyed the works of the devil. Now you want to push back. Anytime you start dealing with demons and you start saying in the name of Jesus, watch the pushback. Why? Because those demons are angry. They know that they've been defeated. And now someone is speaking about their defeat. Like I'm speaking about their defeat. They don't like that. They want it to stay hidden because why? This is the reason, and I have to stop right here. This is one of the very reasons how the enemy is getting the body of Christ as a whole to stop praying in other tongues. Because Satan knows that's what the victory is. Because mysteries, secrets, and that's what mysteries are, that's what secrets, they are, they are revealed to you. The thing that God is saying to you. or maybe what God is doing through you, because he always calls you to triumph. You and I are the trophies of Christ. Or you understand what he's saying? He won for us, but he gave us the trophy and say, now, hey, when you are confronted with this and that, remind yourself, I won this battle for you. So this sickness, this cancer, this disease, this oppression, this whatever, remember, I won this victory for you. Begin to rise up in my name. And that's why when we go back, as I close with this, in Romans 8:26 again, it says, so the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bear us up in our weakness, for we do not know what prayer to offer or nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. It didn't say we didn't know how to pray. It just, in this particular manner, I don't really know how to go about and making, you know, touching the hand of God. See? Why? Because it's in the natural, the enemy wants to keep us in the natural. That's why when we pray in the spirit, he cannot touch us. See, Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. The apostle Paul was full of the Holy Ghost. All the apostle Jesus told, matter of fact, you know, you can go back at the end of this, you know, when I finished it, and just look in Acts 1, or look at Luke 24. Before Jesus was raptured up right in the front of the disciples. You know, and he told them, don't depart from this place until you receive the power from on high. Now, if Jesus did not think it was important to tell them that, and these are the apostles of the New Testament, and many cases through the book of Acts, that Paul, Peter, and they kept, Philip kept introducing the power of the Holy Ghost, and people were filled with the baptism in the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, then how is it that we today, as the body of Christ, have become weakened? And we have allowed someone to talk us out of praying in the Spirit. You know, it's not useful. It doesn't make sense. It frightened people away. We use all kind of human, natural, whatever you want to call it. Why? Because you don't understand the power that be and what it would do to set the captives free. And I highly encourage all of us as believers to do what? Go back and look at these things about the gifts of the Spirit. Look at why we're being filled with the Spirit. It doesn't make us spooky. It strengthens us. It empowers us along with the Word of God. See, I have the Spirit and the Word. And that's why Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are true. A lot of times you're not going to be able to walk in the truth of God's Word. You're not going to be able to walk and to stand in the spirit of the truth of God without being full of the Holy Ghost, without building yourself up. So, as I close with this, you know, go back to 1 Corinthians 14, because I want to finish reading that verse. 1 Corinthians 14:2, he says, for one who speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not unto men, but unto God. See? For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truth. And that's what happened. While you're praying in the Spirit, what you're doing, you're uttering secret truth. Not hidden from you, but they're hidden for you. It's meaning God giving you insight. He's using your imagination to show you the strategy that you need to have, the stance that you need to stand. You know, when the scripture says in Ephesians 6:13, having done all to stand therefore. Well, you see, you have to have insight. The Holy Ghost have to show that to you. So when you pray in another tongue, it's strengthening your inner man, which is your soul man, because that's the part of you that fluctuate. That's the part of you that say, You know, if I see something that I, you know, that is unfamiliar, you know, we can't be like Scooby-Doo. You know, every time Scooby-Doo saw something, you know, he's supposed to be the dog that do the protecting, but he's the first one gone. Well, that's the same thing about a believer that's not full of the Holy Ghost. You can be the first one running. Why? Because you don't understand the forces of darkness. You have already, Christ have already triumphed over for you and I, and we are the trophies of his victory. So when we run or won't take the stand as the righteous of God, then the enemy now know that he can come live at your house. Because what you don't know is destroying you. And this is the reason why the fight about praying in tongues, you know, it's some of the age-old fight. Why we don't pray in tongues in church, or why we don't speak, why we don't lay hands on the sick, or why we don't allow the gifts of the Spirit. They're not my people. They're God's people. And the gifts of the Spirit is very much needed. We don't know. Some person may walk in your atmosphere. And if the place that you're in, the study, the Bible study, the church that you're in, allow the gifts of the Spirit, that person come in, the Holy Ghost can give you a word of wisdom, or can reveal, can give you a word of knowledge about someone. This is their last day that they plan to live. They intending to take their life. And no one know what's going on because they got this smile on their face. Or someone got this disease on the inside and there is no cure, and they don't want no one to know because they don't think that it's, they've been told it's incurable. But they come to a meeting, or they see you running, and or they see you talking to you, and all of a sudden you say, no, for with God, nothing is impossible, Shad. All things is possible with God. So you're not putting the burden on yourself. What you're doing, you're putting back the burden of the one who won the victory, but your body is the display of the glory to manifest. The glory is not going to manifest from Jesus because he don't have a physical body. It's Jesus' power. It's Jesus' manifestation. But we're the one that has to bring forth. We're the one that has to speak it. So the power of God is working through us. So we're the one that's getting them healed. That's why he said, you heal the sick. You understand it's not me healing, but I'm taking his power and I'm displaying his power to the sick of what he has to, that holds the trophy over sickness, holds the trophy over demonic oppression, holds the trophy over poverty, holds the trophy over every work of the enemy. Jesus holds that trophy. We the trophy of that of which he holds, the victory of the trophy that he holds in his hand. But if I don't go out by faith and begin to express and begin to stand upon these truths and then teach them, see, they have to be taught in the church. You're not going to see much deliverance and healings or whatnot in the church unless we just have a healing meeting or something like that. But you're going to see a lot of deliverance, a lot of healing, a lot of oppression being broken off of people's lives out there in the marketplaces. The church is a place where you come and grow, you learn, you be strengthened. You're taught how to. And then you go and demonstrate that back out there in the public place. Are you following what I'm saying? I see it all the time. I do it all the time, one-on-one with people. That's the thing that I love about what I do. I'm able to minister to people all the time, of all walk of life. Are you understand what I'm saying? Because why? It's the illuminated life of Christ in me. And I release his power in their bodies. And if they're not saved, once they got healed or delivered, then they will easily become born again. Because they can't forget it. There's no other force that's able to give them that peace, to give them that victory, to remove that pain from their body. And most of the time, I didn't even touch them. Just spoke the word. But they believed it. So, verse 2 once again says, and I close with this, He said, for the one who speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not to men, but to God. For he utters, or notice it, for no one understands or catches the meaning, because of the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truth and hidden things, not obvious to the understanding. Are you seeing what I'm saying here? Not obvious to the understanding. He said, but on the other hand, the one who does prophesy, the one who interprets, the one that interprets the divine will and purpose and inspired preaching and teaching, speak to men for the upbuilding, the constructive spiritual, spiritual progress, and what is this? An encouragement and consolation. That's what prophecy does. It does three things. So anytime we speak or whatever, whether it be praying in tongues, whether we prophesy, whatever, it's going to always be uplifting. It's going to always bring forth victory. It's going to always bring forth triumph. It is never to put a person in a place to be condemned or to be judged or to be looked down upon. Because that's what the good news is all about. It's setting the captive free. Well, my time is coming gone tonight. I'll be continuing at the Favorite Church, sharing along these lines about the Spirit-filled life. And if you desire to hear more about this tonight, you can join me on the Favorite Church page, or you can join us live at the Favorite Church. And we'll be teaching more along these lines. I'm pretty sure my lesson will be a little bit more different than this. It never comes out the same, but you're welcome either way. And we love to have you to sow into the Favorite Church, because as you know, your sowing is important to us. Why? Because it helped us to take care of all the building expenses and the grounds and whatnot, upkeep for us to continue to move forward. And so I'm just thankful that I can come to you every day and teach the Word of God to you in this setting, because God has graced me to do it. And so, and I'm grateful for you to come on, you know, as much as y'all can, and stay on as much as you can to hear the Word of God. So if you want to hear this lesson over again, at the end of this lesson, I have a podcast that called Grace Institute Online Bible School. You can subscribe to that Grace Institute Online Bible School on your podcast, where you have an Android phone, or whether you have an iPhone, or if you have Spotify or Google, whatever, it will uplift. You can put Grace Institute Online Bible School, and this lesson will come up when I'm completed. So I will upload this lesson at the end of this lesson. So we love you. We thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and His favor be with you. Love you. We'll do it again, God willing. Bye-bye, everyone. Have a great day in Christ.